Welcome to Living Heritage, a show about people who are engaged in the heritage and culture sector, all those who keep history alive at the community level. I'm Tara Barrett, ICH researcher with Heritage NL. On today's episode, we talk with mentor Charlene Rumbolt and apprentice Katie Lee. The two are a pair in our mentor-apprentice program and focused on Cossack making. Charlene is the lead artist and knowledge keeper at the Great Caribou Studio in Mary's Harbor. A talented seamstress, she was a winner in the Senior Visual Arts Division of Arts and Letters NL in 2019 and 2021. Charlene is a member of the Craft Council of Newfoundland and Labrador, and she began sewing and crafting at 11 years old. She has since made dresses, pants, handbags, and more. Charlene has taught crafting and art for over 20 years in both group and individual settings. For the last 12 years, after learning from elders in Nain and Hopedale, Charlene has been making the traditional Cossack or Dickey. Learn more about her work at Great Caribou Studio. Prior to the start of the program, Katie had basic skills in Cossack making and was intent on improving her abilities. Her artwork has been inspired by her Indigenous roots, and she plans on making more traditional outerwear to carry on her ancestors' traditional craft while simultaneously expressing her own creativity within her culture. She's previously worked at the Great Caribou Studio in Mary's Harbor. Hi, Charlene and Katie, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, so thanks for having me here. Yeah.
So just to start off, I was wondering a little bit about your backgrounds and kind of how you kind of got your start in Cossack making. So Charlene, do you want to start off and just kind of explain what your background is and how you got your start making Cossacks?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a local artisan. I've been sewing since I was really young. I learned in school in like grade 7. So I've sewed a variety of things. When I moved to Labrador, my mom had bought me a couple of Cossacks before that, and I always liked them. And then when I moved here, sought out an elder so that I could figure out how to make them. And so I've learned from elders down on the South Coast, and I've also learned from elders on the North Coast. Their design's a bit different up there. So, I do them separately and then I blend them and that kind of stuff. So I've been doing them probably for about 12 years now, and I sell them and yeah.
All good. And so what made you want to like learn how to make them, learn from an elder, get more experience kind of making them when you moved to Labrador?
So I've always been passionate about heritage crafts and keeping those traditions going. And I wanted to do things that my grandmother did. She had 13 kids, two girls, and neither girl picked up any of the traditional skills. So as being the oldest grandchild, I just felt a sense of responsibility and I loved doing it. So for me, it's great to learn those skills and then pass them on.
And can I ask, just because I'm kind of curious, where were you growing up and when did you move to Labrador?
So I grew up in Ontario. We lived a lot of the lifestyle. I just wasn't living in Labrador. So we came back and forth a lot when I was a kid. And as I got older, I was coming back every year. And then I moved here in 2010.
And so was your family from Labrador, though? Because you said you were moving back and forth.
My dad is. My dad's from, I live in Mary's Harbor, and that's where my father's from. Yeah. And they had retired here. So that's why I used to come and visit. Yeah.
And Katie, how about yourself? Why did you kind of want to learn how to make Cossacks? What was it about the skill that kind of drew you to it?
Ever since I was a kid, like all my family, the men and the women, knew a lot about crafting and making things, and they were all very talented, and I was jealous. So I wanted to be able to have something myself. And I know a lot of like my great aunts and stuff could make Cossacks and could make them very well, but I waited too long to learn from them and they got too old to teach me. But I'm also an overachiever. So I wanted to learn to make more than just a basic Cossack. I wanted to know how to put pretty details in, and I just wanted to be able to continue that knowledge. I didn't want it to be lost. I thought it was very important to keep it.
And so for anybody who doesn't know, Katie, maybe you can start and Charlene, you can kind of chime in afterwards. What is a Cossack?
A Cossack is a traditional Inuit parka. I know a lot of the people in my family used to wear them for hunting, and then the women would always have pretty ones to wear out. and be fancy.
And is there anything you want to add to that definition, Charlene?
Yeah, so traditional Kazakhs on the south coast are made from duck cotton. On the north coast, they made them from cloth. Nowadays, they make them from Commander because it's wind and waterproof, whereas duck cotton is resistant. And it's a pullover. The original design is a pullover, so it goes over top of your clothing. So you can wear them through various seasons. So in the winter, you would pull it over a winter parka or coat, and then in the spring or the fall, I wear mine just the way it is, maybe with a light sweater underneath. And in the summer, I just wear it the way it is out in the boat. So yeah, lots of uses.
And so you mentioned kind of some of the materials that people use, and that is one thing I like to ask. What materials, you mentioned the cotton duck and the commander. So what other materials go into making a Cossack?
That's it.
That's it. What about, are there
That's it. Yeah, you can,
embellishments?
I mean, you can fancy them up and put trim on them and, stuff like that. There's different kinds of trims you can get. And, like Katie had said, you can make them as fancy as you want, pretty, and you can embroider them. You can do all that. But I mean, traditionally they were just plain and sometimes they would be oiled for people that worked out on the boats or barked. Barked is very common for the older traditional ones. And that was to preserve the cotton.
And when you say barked, what do you mean by barked?
So barking is a traditional dye process where you take trees and leaves and you boil it down and you prepare a liquid. It's called a barking liquid. It's a tanning. And they used to dip anything cotton in it. So they would do their nets. They would do their coats, anything like that. And it would help preserve it so it wouldn't rot so fast.
And Katie, I know you mentioned you were interested in kind of embellishing them. So what kind of embellishments or what additions were you interested in, or have you added to your own, or are you interested in adding down the line?
So I learned how to do a peekaboo trim. So it's a pretty little trim. It's the straight trim with the wavy one inside and kind of peeks up. It's really cute. So I wanted to learn that. I'm gonna do a double trim on my final project because I think that looks pretty. I wanted to learn how to put the fur on the hood, and on one of my Kazaks, I embroidered the neckline. So I thought that was really fun, and of course, I like pockets. I like to hold all of my stuff, so I really wanted to learn how to do different size pockets and different shapes and make them pretty looking too.
And so we've talked about some of the materials that go into them. What tools or kind of techniques do you need to make one? Charlene, maybe you can start.
Yeah, so I mean, it's sewing. They're all done on a sewing machine nowadays. So the first thing we started with Katie was to teach her how to do different types of seams, and because there's different ones depending on what style you're doing. Also, how to cert to do a corner, how to do a curve, because that's important when you're doing different styles. So just getting those basic sewing techniques down, and then teaching her how to work with bulky material. So we started, with a just a regular Kazaka, and then we moved our way up into a fully lined one, because it's harder to work with when you've got all that bulk. So trying to figure that all out. And then she took it upon herself to do the embellishment, and they're beautiful. She did such an amazing job.
And when you say fully lined, what, if you're using like cotton duct, what is the lining inside?
Yeah, so nowadays they make a commercial lining. So it's fiberfill and polyester. And you're pretty much making two quilts and putting them together, is basically what you do. Yeah. So it just makes it like a one piece rather than having to put on a quilt and then put on the Kazakh over top. So that way you just have one. Yeah.
And are there any particular skills or I know I was talking to a pair recently and they said patience was like kind of the big thing that you needed to do this particular thing. So, Katie, was there anything that you learned or anything any particular skills that you needed to be able to make a good Cossack?
Patience is definitely one of them. I would also say self-confidence, which I wasn't great at before, but I really had to trust my own skills and my own knowledge and trust that I could do it. And they all turned out really nice, so I'm excited about that.
Great. And Charlene, is there anything else that you think kind of would kind of lend itself to be able to make a good Cossack?
Yeah, a lot of it is good listening skills and following direction well. You don't get frustrated. I mean, we've had to rip out a few seams. I mean, I've been making them for years and I still have to rip out seams. It is what it is. So don't be too hard on yourself and just, yeah, and let your imagination go. Katie's had a lot of fun doing hers and yeah. So when you do them fancier, it's really good.
And one thing that I like to ask kind of our mentor apprentice pairs is just what makes a good product. So for this, what makes a good Cossack? Is there, you know, does it have to be waterproof? What are the certain things that make something a really good Cossack?
So it obviously needs to be made from the appropriate materials, and neat sewing. I mean, and we do double seams so that they're extra strong, but just to take your time and be very neat with it, so that it looks good and it fits well. One of the things Katie and I learned was to do some custom fitting. So, not everybody's built the same. So being able to do adjustments and stuff and making the arms the right length and that kind of stuff goes a long way. Yeah.
And Katie, anything you wanted to add?
I definitely think that you need to have the patience to fiddle with it. There's a lot of little adjustments that you have to make with the pocket and the hood, especially just to make sure they fit nice and lay flat and look pretty and they're not like wrinkled up or anything like that. So you definitely have to move it a millimeter here and then a millimeter there and just have to keep at it until you get it to fit nice.
And I guess I'm just wondering how the apprenticeship went. What kind of skills did you start with? And I know, Katie, you said that you have one done, but you wanted for your final one to make it a bit, you know, fancier stuff. So how did you start off kind of with the mentorship? What were kind of your first steps?
I haven't used a sewing machine before. I did a lot of hand sewing as a kid, making little pillows and stuff like that. But I haven't used a sewing machine, so I had to be taught all the basics, how to thread the machine, how to actually use it, how to make my line straight. And I remember the first thing she told me is that it was like driving a skidoo. You had to look where you were going, not at the skidoo itself. So that really helped me to get my lines straight and where I wanted them to go.
I love that. I'm not a great sewer myself, but I love the idea of look where you're going. That makes sense as opposed to looking down as to what you're. Yeah, that's beautiful. Another thing that I wanted to ask is just kind of, I know it would depend, but if you're making kind of just a, I guess, a standard Cossack without much decoration, how long would it generally take? And I guess that would depend on kind of your skill level and how experienced you are. Maybe Charlene, you can start. How long roughly would it take to make a Cossack?
To make a basic one with no hood, and if you have experience like I do them in about 4 to 6 hours. But I know I'm faster than a lot of other people. And that's for just a straight men's. Women's take longer. But yeah, for me, Katie, probably if you were at it all the time, maybe a day and a half.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the difference between the men's and the women's and the men's taking shorter time. What is the difference between the two?
The women's have a curved hem, and so it's a little trickier, and the length can be different. So if you're going longer in the back, that kind of stuff, it obviously just takes more time. And the trimming is a lot more complex on a woman's when you have the curves to take into account. So, I mean, originally your basic Kazakh just was a straight bottom, but like I said, we the Inuit, like if they go to church Sunday ones, would be fancier, so the women would have the curved hems and that kind of thing, right? So, obviously, take more time.
And with the hoods, would that be like a separate piece that you're adding on to kind of the body structure?
Yeah, it depends on which style. So if you're doing the South Coast one, yeah, definitely a separate piece that fits on and it comes down and it's got a yoke and it's very complicated actually. But the ones from the North Coast that I do are a very simple basic hood that just attaches at the neck. So I know Katie's final project, she's doing a combination of styles, and blending the two. So I am excited to see it.
Katie, can you explain a little bit about what that project's going to look like?
I picked a really nice red commander. I really like red. And I really like the way red looks with dark hair, and I have dark hair, so I thought it would complement well. I remember I had one when I was a little kid. It had been made by my great aunt and was passed down from her kid to my cousin, to me, to my little cousin again now. So I'm kind of going for that kind of idea. It was really pretty. It was zip up. It had the South Coast neck style, and it had lots of fur, and she did embroidery on the back. So I'm looking to do something similar to that. I have a really nice dark fur picked out. I'm super excited to do the neckline. I really like the South Coast neckline. It's trickier, but I just like the way it looks, and I like knowing that my aunties used it, and my grandparents and my great grandparents and stuff, they all had the same style. So I'm excited to continue that with mine.
Nice. And you mentioned kind of the fur, and we've talked a little bit about the materials that you use. So where do you purchase, or where do you obtain your materials for making cassocks?
So since I saw them, I have a wholesaler's license. So I purchased them from a wholesaler, actually out of Quebec. So that's where I get my duck cotton, and that's where I get all my commander. But local people would get them at Terry's Tents up in Goose
In
Bay.
Goose
That's
Bay,
where I
yeah.
started. That's where I started buying my stuff, right? But like I said, now I have a wholesaler license, so I buy direct. But yeah.
And so you mentioned that you sell them. So where do you generally sell your Cossacks?
So I have an art studio in Marys Harbour. Yeah, so it's an art studio and cafe. So yeah, I sell them there. Yeah, and then people contact me over Facebook and that kind of stuff, right?
And so, do you just sell kind of your own artwork, or do you have other folks' artwork in the space as well?
I represent 22 artists. Yeah.
I would like to visit sometime. We'll see. My
Yeah,
next trip up to the
Adrian
South
and all.
Coast.
Yeah.
And Katie, how about yourself? Is selling Cossack something that you would like to look into in the future, or is this something that you're kind of just learning to be able to do it for yourself, to pass on the knowledge? Is it something that you want to do and sell down the line, do you think?
Sure about selling, but I definitely wanted to know to be able to do them for myself and not have to like ask anybody else so that I could have my creative vision come forth the way I wanted it to instead of having to try and explain it to someone else. I can just do it myself now. And I wanted to be able to do them for my family too. I would really like to make one for my grandmother since she always makes stuff for me. And I've had people in the community contact me once they learned that I was making them. And I thought it was really funny. They could have gave me a chance to learn how to do it first.
That's nice though that there's people actually reaching out saying, "Okay, you're learning it, you might as well. You're interested in making more." And Charlene,
It's
I
great to have a
just
younger person that's doing Cossacks because not a lot are doing it. I did a workshop about 4 years ago, so we had quite a few ladies that did that. But you know, there's a lot of people that don't make them anymore, and yeah, so it's nice to see you know people picking up the skill and passing it on.
And that was something I was going to ask about was, are there many people in the area, and are there workshops that happen to transmit this skill and this knowledge? So there's not many people who are doing it who are a bit younger, but are there still older folks who know kind of in the on the South Coast?
Yeah, actually, it's been a resurgence, I'd say, with more of the middle-aged ones. Not too many older ones, at least here. There's no one around that makes them. There's a few in Red Bay that will do them. I'm not, and then the next place up will be Goose Bay. So it's hard to get someone who makes them. Yeah. So it's nice to see that there's that big age, like 30 to 50, that's learning how to do them. Like I said, we did a workshop probably, geez, it'd be four, five years ago, maybe. And I'm doing another one next month, actually, here in Mary's Harbor with a small group. And I have taught in Lab City too. So Nunatuba gets me to kind of travel around and teach how to make them. So, but we are seeing them come back, you know, kind of in vogue again. It's nice.
And Katie, I guess I just was curious as to why, when you saw the Mentor Apprentice program, what made you want to apply and what made you kind of want to learn this particular skill?
I was thinking about it for a while. I know a lot of like smaller base skills, but I really wanted to learn something big, and something useful. And I know I was really annoyed with trying to buy like snowsuits and the jackets and stuff. They weren't fitting me right. They weren't warm and they were very expensive. So I thought to myself, if I had the chance to make one, would I? And then I seen that this program was out, and I was like, this is a perfect opportunity. So I really wanted Charlene to teach me because I know she's a really good teacher and she has a lot of knowledge about the coats and stuff. And I knew she'd be able to teach me how to embellish it the way I wanted to and how to make it as pretty as I wanted. So I was really excited.
And I guess I was kind of curious about Charlene, you mentioned that you've taught this a few times at different workshops. Have you ever kind of done this one-on-one apprenticeship? And how did you feel like I guess that part went? Was that different from how you usually teach, or have you taught that way in the past?
I've done it with other skills, not with making kazaks. I really enjoyed it actually, because you can focus all your attention on one person. I mean, when I'm doing workshops, you know, I do 10 to 15 people, and so you're trying to spread yourself out, and you know, but it's nice to give that one-on-one attention and really hone in on specifically what that person wants to learn, you know, and take them through the process. Because when I do a workshop, we do one style and that's it, right? But with this, I've been able to teach Katie a bunch of different things. And like I said, tailor it to what she wants to learn. And to me, later down the line, that's gonna maybe give her more energy to do it, right? Because it's what she wants, not what was available.
And Katie, how about yourself? How do you found like how did you find the one-on-one mentorship went as opposed to, I guess, a workshop setting?
I really like one-on-one. I'm a little shy, so I don't really attend any workshops or anything. Also, I find I learn a lot better when it's just me, getting all the attention, so to speak. Because at least I can have all my questions answered. And I can, kind of learn as slowly as I need to, so I can just make sure that I'm doing everything right. And I'm definitely a perfectionist, so I like to fret about things a little bit, and I can't really do that in a workshop with more than one person.
And I wanted to ask a little bit about, I asked about the materials and the tools, and I guess I was just wondering, are there patterns that you follow to make the Cossacks as well?
So we, the soft cost ones, we have a, it's a traditional, it's not really a pattern. It's a traditional way of making it. The only real pattern that we have is for the hood. The rest are based off of measurements and just how they've done it over the years. So they just kind of orally pass on that knowledge. When I do the North Coast ones, I have a pattern that I got from a family member up there. So, yeah.
And so if you were making the North Coast ones, could you adjust that pattern based on like the person that you were making it for?
Absolutely. I can, well, I can adjust any pattern
That's true.
for anybody. Yeah, so I mean, like I said, I've been, and most people come to me because they need custom work done, and I know how to alter all that. So yeah, either pattern can be adjusted. So
And one question that I wanted to ask was just about what benefits or negatives, what kind of positives or kind of negative things came out of the mentor apprenticeship? How did you find it overall? Katie, if you want to start.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't have any complaints. I thought the time frame was perfect, especially since, you know, I like to do a lot of other things too. It's hard to kind of just like focus on one thing for me in like a small amount of time. So I had plenty of time and opportunity to finish the coats the way I wanted them and to make them as perfect as possible. So yeah, I really enjoyed the time frame. I think it was very positive overall. I just really enjoyed it.
And Charlene, how about yourself?
It's been a great experience for me too. I guess the only struggle we've had is weather and travel, because the road between my house and Katie's house is closed a lot in the winter. So I know we had hoped to have this finished sooner, but last year the winter was brutal and the road was constantly closed. Although you can teach some skills over video, not all skills can be taught that way. So some of that stuff you had to wait until we got together. But yeah, no, it's been good. Yeah, and she's been a great student and always open, and she's good with constructive criticism and trying again. And so that's all been really good.
And I guess my last question is just, is there anything that I haven't asked about Cossack making or about the program or kind of working together that you wanna mention? Is there anything that you'd like to add?
I hope you do this again. It was nice to be able to spend that one-on-one time. Like Katie said, it's hard sometimes in a workshop. And to be able to spend that time with someone's really good. So to be able to pass on those skills. And it's such an important thing. We've used those coats for generations for a reason. And so it's nice to pass that on and keep it going.
And Katie, anything you'd like to add?
I definitely think this program kind of opened it up for people to ask to learn things. Because I know myself, I probably wouldn't have asked if I hadn't seen this program and, the thought was then put into my mind. So I definitely like that it probably opened up a lot of opportunity for other people to ask for things they wanted to learn too.
Great. Well, thank you both so much. This is wonderful. And I look forward to hopefully when you finish your final product, if you want to send along some photos, we'd love to see them. I think Charlene sent along a few photos of you working away. But yeah, if you have any more photos towards the end, we'd certainly love to see them. But it was great chatting with you both, and wish you luck with the rest of your projects.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Living Heritage Podcast, a co-production of Heritage NL and CHMR Radio at Memorial University. You can find previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you download podcasts. We're on Twitter at HFNLCA. Do you have a question or a suggestion about an aspect of culture and heritage you want us to explore? Send us your mail and we'll do our best to answer it in an upcoming show. Email us at livingheritagepodcast@gmail.com. Our theme music is by Lache Swing. Thanks for listening.